This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Toronto Mayor John Tory is our guest exclusively at 5:35 every single day as we go through all of this together. Mr. Mayor, nice to have you.
Thanks, guys.
Let's start off with the big headline story of the day. I know you were speaking with Jerry Agar a little earlier, but some of our listeners may not have heard it. The idea of Sidewalk Labs shutting down after a two-year, flirtation with the project. A lot of jobs were on the line. 40,000 was the estimate. Now that we're sort of past that point of things, what does that area of land south of the Gardner look like to you in the future?
Well, I don't know, but it's got to be something extraordinary, not ordinary. So I think what we're going to do is put out another proposal call. That's how Google ended up, or Sidewalk ended up there, was they had a competition and they won. And they only won the right to negotiate with us, and in the end, we just couldn't make the deal. And that happens, a lot in business and elsewhere. So now we're going to have another proposal call, and we'll be looking for something that's exciting in the context of environmental sustainability, affordable housing, transportation, because we don't want to just build ordinary things down there. It is our only waterfront, and so we'll be looking for something extraordinary, as we thought we had with Sidewalk, but it just didn't work out.
Is there any temptation to look at other jurisdictions around North America and say, hey, listen, why are we reinventing the wheel here? They've got it right in a city like Chicago with the Navy Wharf, or in the case of New York with some of the things they do, or Boston. Do we just maybe look at them and say, listen, we could steal that. Let's just find somebody to help us fund this whole thing.
Well, it isn't, but it's a matter of who actually does it, because the governments don't build these things. If you looked in New York, there may have been a government like the Waterfront Corporation here overseeing it, but in the end, it's built by somebody that's, a private sector contractor, and some of the people do designs that, compete to win the right to do that. So I don't think we're really proceeding with this much differently than those places. It's a different result. It's a different climate. It's a different place, and the waterfront is already there in terms of the development that's been done, things like the Chorus Building and the George Brown College and different things like that. It's unique. But having said that, I see no reason why we can't do something really exciting down there on that piece of land, which is still, as I've made the point, we still own it after this. It's still very valuable, one of the most valuable pieces of land in North America, and it's still an exciting opportunity for somebody to come along and do something there that is not ordinary. So that's what we'll be looking for.
Now, your office crunching the numbers as to what it's going to cost our city as we go through this and for the next number of months, obviously into the billions of dollars. Let me ask how you came to that number, and obviously you want to reiterate you're looking for federal support when it comes to this, because we are the economic engine of the country.
Well, we are the economic engine of the country, and we're very constrained. All cities are with regard to how they can raise money, and they can't run a deficit, which I completely support, and I don't think we should start. We have very limited ways to raise money through property taxes and commercial taxes and essentially land transfer tax. That's kind of it. We don't have income tax, sales tax, corporate tax. So our ability, once you start falling short, is very limited to make that up. Why are we falling short? Well, take the transit for starters. I've mentioned this before. $23 million a week. Just do the math. If you ran it out for 15 weeks, that's a lot of money. And that's just transit. And then you get into other things like the loss of revenue on land transfer tax because the real estate market has slowed down. You get into the increased expenditures on things like care for the homeless and overtime and things like that. So, it gets to $1.5 billion fairly quickly over a kind of a 9-month period, 3 months for the lockdown and 6 months recovery. We're just saying to the other governments, look, you not only have the money to help us in the context of the revenue sources, but if the city comes back and recovers strongly, it being the economic engine of the country, 20% of the whole Canada's economy, the major beneficiaries in people working will pay income tax, goes to the federal and provincial governments. People, shops be back in business, pay corporate taxes, federal and provincial governments. People buying things, sales tax, HST, goes to the federal and provincial governments. We don't get any of that. So we're saying make a bet on the place that's going to produce a lot of money for you when this economy comes back and create a lot of jobs and help the cities.
To me, it sounds like there might be a little bit of hesitation or pushback. Is that what you're getting from either of those two levels of government right now?
Oh, it's a bit more like an after-you-Alphonse routine in the sense that what you've got is the federal government, you know, which has stepped up on a lot of things, you know, including today. And they're sort of saying, well, gosh, we hear all the time that the cities are the responsibility and exclusive domain of the provincial government, which under the Constitution is actually true. So maybe you should call the province first. And when you call the province first, and that's not just confined to Toronto, cities around the country call their province first, and the province says, well, you know, we think this is a national problem, you should call the federal government. So what we're trying to do is turn the heat up on both of them now and say, look, we got to have this help. We got to have it fast. Toronto's in better shape, I think, than many other cities across the country, but we still need the help. And that's so that we can continue to provide these services and be the bedrock of the economic recovery of the entire country, as this city most certainly will and should be. We are 20% of the entire economy of the country. As I've mentioned to you before, a $300 billion economy. So we've got to get this recovery right, and we need their help to make sure our finances remain stable.
You know, I think it's interesting for a lot of listeners and people listening out there, because it's like, I think there was an assumption that everybody was working together, and that meant, you know, not that you were going to have a blank check to you know, figure out what the next steps were, but that certainly that the money would be available just as it is to individuals, that it would be open to cities as well, and that it would be easy to access.
You know me, I don't want to be unfair. I understood completely, and I discussed this specifically with the Finance Minister, Bill Morneau. They had an obligation to look after people first, individuals who needed money. You saw the emergency benefit. They had an obligation to look after small businesses, and they've done that with a number of different programs, which I completely commend them for. So then we knew we came at least third, if not maybe fourth, but we came third. And so nobody said no. It's just that nobody's also said yes, and they haven't really got down to brass tacks. So we're kind of turning up the heat a little bit to say, well, look, we can't go on forever waiting to see what you're going to do to help, because we continue to hemorrhage money, $25 million, $23 million bucks a week on TTC revenues alone, and we need the help. So, I'm an optimist about these things, as you know, and I think we'll reach some resolution. We just need to get their complete attention.
From 7:10 this afternoon, can you please ask Mayor John Tory a question about the change in messaging from staying at home to staying physically distanced from each other while out and about? As someone who is blind from birth, I'm responsible as much as I can. I try and keep my distance as much as I can, but I'm actually really worried about those who are intentionally irresponsible about this and could keep the virus spreading. That's from Gordy this afternoon.
Yeah, I think, Gordy, that what the Medical Officer of Health said today is that there are those people, as you said, who are irresponsible, but most people have got the message. And they're keeping their distance, and they're making an effort, especially when they would see somebody who's visually impaired, to keep their distance and do it for you. And so I think that, you know, we've all collectively reached the judgment that people are doing enough and get it enough that we can allow a bit of the constraint come off. And while Dr. Davila would still say people should stay home as much as they can, because then you don't run into anybody else that you don't live with, that people can get out and about. It's realistic in the context of weather. It's realistic in the context of these shops that are opening up for limited business now, that people are going to be out and about a bit more, and we're just saying if you're going to do it, then please stay apart from one another, and I think that's been a consistent message throughout.
Let's talk about that with the businesses opening next week, with curbside pickup becoming coming back. Is there anything in particular the city has to do to get ready for that, or are we locked and loaded?
No, we're busy planning on it, because what we have to avoid is, you know, kind of, especially in the concentrated areas of retail, like right downtown at, say, Yonge and Dundas, we've got to avoid, you know, crowd scenes, which come from four lineups coming out of four different stores. And I'm relying, and we are, all of us, on the ingenuity of the business community to say, okay, if there's one store next to another, maybe the one takes appointments on when you come pick up your stuff. So they say to you, you know, Ryan, if you buy a shirt, you want to come down and pick it up at the door, because you can't go in the store, you come at 2 o'clock, and Jay goes at 4 o'clock, so you don't end up with a crowd scene. And I think there are things like that we can do. There's proof positive of how we know how to do this from the sort of Sobeys and Loblaws and Metros, who have been showing that you can organize a lineup, keep people 6 feet apart in the lineup, keep the limits on the number of people, you know, at the store or door. So I just think it's a matter of us organizing all this. I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem, because I think a lot of these same stores that will open on their storefronts have been doing business online, so it's not as if there's going to be 900 customers from that store all of a sudden on Monday morning descending upon the place to do business. So we're going to be on it, and if we have to create space for people to be able to get by safely on the sidewalks because there are lineups, then we'll do that with this Curb TO program that we've now got, I think, 22 spots and 88 applications for, and we'll have more if we need them.
Another text message at 7:10:10. If the TTC is bleeding money, why are we not laying employees off and then they can apply for the federal benefit?
Well, that's exactly, if you remember the news from last week, a notice was served under the collective agreement. We have to give them 30 days notice of any possibility of layoff. So we issued that notice about a week ago. That then starts 30 days of talks where we negotiate with them whether it's possible to have something other than a complete layoff. So in other words, one of these emergency leaves where the federal government pays unemployment insurance and maybe their salary gets topped up, but there's still quite a saving. So we're in the midst of that 30 days of discussion, but we can't lay a single person off if we do in the end until that 30 days is up and until we've sat in good faith with the unions and negotiated, which we're doing.
All right. Fair enough. I think that's a straightforward answer. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
My pleasure, and we'll talk tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Looking forward
to it.
Toronto Mayor John Tory. I believe we'll be on at a different time tomorrow. He'll be on with us tomorrow afternoon at 4:45. A bit of a change to his schedule, so we will happily accommodate the mayor tomorrow on The Rush at 4:45.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.